broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 15th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two. Our goal, incredibly simple, that is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, news is just everywhere. Now, I'm not even sure how to talk about this story, Kirk Cosby. This thing's weird as all get out. This guy's a professor. This guy's name is what? Ari, what is it?
Yeah, his name's Ari Nagel, N-A-G-E-L. They say he's 40 years old, he's a, professor at what they call CUNY. I think that's something New York, community, College of New York or something like that, but a math professor. They say one of the good things about him is he has a high sperm count. Now, I guess he's, handsome or whatever, at least some women think so.
Drop dead gorgeous is the term in the article, Kurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he provides some, needed services,
Kurt's getting so vague, ladies and gentlemen, you won't be able to understand the story pretty soon.
In this new world we live in, where it's kind of like rent a man or something like that, but the headline reads...
And they call that prostitution usually, Kurt.
Yeah. The headline reads, a professor who donates sperm in city bathrooms has sired 22 kids. Dori Lewak is the writer, she starts out on a busy night last week at the Target on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Mr. Nagel, 40 years old, emerged from the men's bathroom looking a little flushed and quite pleased with himself. He says, it's better when it's fresh, he told him. It is his semen, and it's in demand. I guess he's 6'2", Kingsborough math professor, and he served as a sperm donor for dozens of locals, siring 22 kids over the past 12 years with 18 women of various backgrounds. When I was growing up, I don't remember hearing about anybody donating that kind of item. They say, the story goes on, for lesbian couples and single ladies looking to have a baby without the expense of going through a sperm bank. Now, you got all different kinds of banks in the world, but, I don't think we used to have sperm banks either, Sam. Which they say, the normal, purchase from a sperm bank can run in the thousands of dollars. They can enjoy this guy because they call him the number one dad. They talk about the guy's work, if you will, or his efforts there, and they say he does all this without charging. His oldest child is now 12 years old. They say it was conceived with a woman he was in a committed relationship with. I think that's supposed to be marriage, Sam, as far as I know. That's what that's supposed to be. I think that's in the top 10 there. But anyway, they say all of his offspring since have resulted from his donations. About half the time, they say he provides his seed the old-fashioned way. Sometimes a lesbian looking to conceive will have her partner in the bed for moral support while she and Nagel, perform this operation.
The answer, sir, is fornicate.
Yeah, or they call it engage in intercourse.
Yeah, but Kurt, never, isn't that called fornication, biblically speaking?
Yeah,
if you're
that's
not married?
The way
okay,
I
Okay, so
understand.
Let's be clear. Let's not use their dismissive words to justify their actions or behavior. Okay, the bottom line is, well, they fornicate. They shouldn't be involved that way. Now, since neither of them are married, I'm not calling it adultery, Kurt, at least in this case.
Right.
It'll be fornication, right? I mean, let's just be clear about what they're doing here. You know, he acts like he's just like this wonderful father and doing a great job and everybody's happy with us. He says he's not doing it really to get lucky with women. He's doing it because it's kind of like a fatherly responsibility, you know? If you want to get lucky with women, isn't that what Tinder for? The guy says. The social media service.
Man,
I mean, this is just off the charts, the immorality that we see glorified everywhere, Kurt.
Yep. And, you know, then they talk about, I guess there's some way that they count the number of, you know, valuable little donations that are available. You know, they say the Mayo Clinic says normal sperm density ranges from 15 million to greater than 200 million sperm per milliliter. Now, if you didn't know that little known fact, you know, you're right up there with me.
That's why you learned the Liberty that's why you listen to Liberty Roundtable, so you can know these kind of things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was kind of thinking Mayo Clinic. Hey,
like probably, when you're in Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, you can just whip out those little factoids.
Yeah.
I would not recommend it, by the way.
But anyway, I guess he's...
The Big Daddy, Kurt, insists that he just likes spreading his seed. That's why he does it. I mean, he just likes... They don't.
Yeah, he says sometimes, you know, he kind of enjoys... going to parties, birthday parties of his children. Of course, you know, none of them are from children of his, marriage, you know. But he says his name appears on birth certificate for just under half of his offspring. Some take his surname, and then there's even an R.E. Jr. and two Arias. A few families have used him multiple times. He just does it for free. So now the only problem.
No, he doesn't do it for free, Kurt.
Well, I mean, at least
he makes a boatload of money. Listen carefully in the story.
All right.
First off, the women get kind of jealous after they get impregnated by him. And so they get mad. And the arrangement is that, hey, there's no obligation for this guy except for, hey, I give you the seed, you give me some cash, we're good to roll. But these women, several of them have sued him for child support. He doesn't use ironclad contracts because he's just kind of the old-fashioned kind of guy. But the interesting thing is these women get jealous and they say, hey, he's not giving our kids enough attention. I mean, these women act like that there's more of a relationship here. That's natural for a woman to do. The problem is the context is all wrong. But anyway, the details are this. Despite the court cases and child support, payments that he has to make now, Nagel says that he has no regrets. He's open to more kids, and he says he's in talks with several women looking to conceive. Now, he says he's kind of getting a little old for this. Financially, he said, it's bankrupted me. Now, listen, but then it says something like this. But I'm still very happy with the way things have turned out. I got, what, $22 million in the bank and my kids? Isn't that the story?
I don't think he's talking about $22 million in
money.
Oh,
he's talking about his kids.
Yeah, I think he's.
But he says he has $22 million in the bank and his kids.
Well, I think what he means is each child, you know, he values it like $1 million, and since he's sired 22 kids, according to the story, then
yeah, it doesn't
know,
make that clear though. It just says he has $22 million in the bank and his kids.
Okay.
So I'm I'm just finding it very strange. On one hand, he's bankrupt. On the other hand, he's got $22 million. I'm not sure how that works. It's kind of like the Clintons, right?
Well, okay.
Bill has $22 million in the bank, and he's got plenty of kids around, too, you know? No, actually, I think the story is Bill can't have children. It's kind of the problem. That's why good old Webb had to help out with Chelsea. Anyway, all I'm telling you is I find this thing very strange indeed, though, Kurt. They're glorifying this fornication, Kurt.
Yeah, this is a whole new area of, donations that never were around when I was a kid that I can remember. And a whole new, it is one area where maybe the AI world, what do they call it, artificial intelligence, but would be replaced by another phrase, and the AI, that would be artificial insemination.
Wait a minute. I thought that meant artificial intelligence, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. But
the heck's going on right
case,
now?
In this case, two kinds of AI,
Well, Apple's got AI going on, too, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. At least you won't find the robots taking over in this area, I guess.
But oh, not yet, my
friend. People
are
kind of like robots.
You ain't seen nothing yet. All I can tell you is the fact is, in my opinion, immorality glorified at every turn, folks.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. AI stands for artificial intelligence, from what I understand. I know that last story kind of derailed that whole definition, but I'm going back to it. Apple's in the news, and Apple has the big AI plans rolling out. They've been falling behind for quite some time, and now this is an effort for Apple to unleash and up the ante. Super Siri will battle Amazon, Facebook, and Google, Kurt.
Well, yeah, that's what the headline reads. It says Apple unleashes its AI. Super Siri is going to battle Amazon, Facebook, and Google in smart assistant wars. And it'll even tell you what emoji to use and organize your holiday snaps. This is from across the pond. I'm trying to remember if this is whoever it is, but they say developers will be able to create their own apps using Siri for first time. New AI photo app can recognize people and places and build AI albums. Completely redesigned music app on iPhone and iPad. Message app can make emoji three times bigger with smart predictions. So what I wanted to ask you, Sam, is Apple going to be able to take on Amazon, Facebook, and Google? Are all these guys fighting against each other? Are they some of them teaming up to beat up the other guys? What's happening in the AI world?
Well, we don't know exactly what's happening because there's still huge buyouts of companies, mergers of companies, investment in companies, etc. And there's still a lot of big players that are getting kind of gobbled up in this, Kurt. What happens is a company tries to buy a technology from somebody else and leapfrog ahead of the competition that way, as opposed to building it themselves. However, it's kind of fascinating because there is what's called an ecosystem battle going on. So it's not really just a battle between Google and Amazon and Apple and Microsoft and some of these people for, you know, doing business with them's sake. It's about a whole ecosystem, Kurt. And what their goal is to get you to do business with them, but then to lock you into their world for end-to-end services is kind of the idea. So if you buy, for example, an Amazon tablet, just say, now you're locked into Amazon shopping. Now you're locked into Amazon services. Let's say you buy a movie from Amazon. Now you got your Amazon tablet tied to your Amazon movie. Then you go ahead and you buy, what's that shipping thing from Amazon? What's it called?
Prime.
Yeah, sorry, Amazon Prime. And now that you got Prime, you're going to get free shipping. And so, see, over time, you start to get locked into this ecosystem, this whole end-to-end services and products kind of offering that they've got going on. And by the way, now you might as well back up your files with Amazon Free Services. And you know what? Amazon's launching a music opportunity, too, so put your music in there. And it goes on and on and on. Well, Google, Microsoft, and Apple doing the same thing. And so let's say you start the Google ecosystem. You know, you decide that you need Google Office, Kurt, or Google Docs, whatever you want to call it. It's their Google Office suite. So pretty soon you got those going on. And then pretty soon you're using Google Drive to back up all those documents and make those documents available when you're offline and et cetera. And now pretty soon Google's going to roll out something else. And by golly, you might as well automate your home with Google because you're using it for everything else. And see, it just starts to build this whole ecosystem. Well, Microsoft and Google and Apple and everybody's trying to do that. You have an Apple computer. Well, by golly, you got to get an iPhone, too. They work so incredible together. And now you got a TV. And, man, if you have your Apple TV, it can play movies off of your Apple computer. And now you bought movies on Apple's iTunes. And, man, you might as well just stay with Apple, Kurt. See, that's kind of the idea, is they're all building ecosystems. And it's not just about these companies or a single product or a single service. It's about building this whole end-to-end, lock you into their world, their system. Ecosystems is what it's all about, Kurt. Anyway, I might have talked too long about that, but that in general is what the battle is about. Apple's hoping to use artificial intelligence to back you into using their system now. So Amazon has this home device that you can just talk to. I can't remember what it's called right now. And then Google now wants to up Siri to where Siri's that smart. And it's all about these, quote, digital assistants like Siri and many others. Microsoft has what's called Cortana. And then Amazon has whatever their thing's called. I can't remember, something home or whatever. And then Google has the Google Assistant. It's all about these computers that can listen to everything you say and do. And then take that information and carry out your requests. You know what? I want to find this song. What is this song? What's the weather? What's the news? Hey, can you turn off the lights in my house? Can you start the oven at, 5? I'm going to be home at 5:30. I want to put something in the oven. I want the oven warmed up. All these kind of services and all this technology being brought to bear, but it's all about locking you into their, quote, ecosystems, Kurt. Anyway, that's a summary. Any questions or thoughts on that?
I guess my main thought is, just imagine, Sam, if there weren't competition in these areas. We'd be back in the days of old when I grew up, I think, with the phone plugged to the wall, and no real movement towards, improvement. But you're seeing some pretty amazing stuff as these big companies try to one-up each other, I guess, huh?
I think so, and I'm fine with the competition. Although, what I don't like, and I'm not so sure there should be a law against this or anything, I don't think we should have a law, I'm just saying, I don't really like this end-to-end lock you into their technologies. I think we serve the population and the people much better when we make things work well together. You know what, I want to use a PC from Microsoft, but I want to access, say, Apple's iTunes store. Or I want to buy a Amazon Fire tablet. And then I want to use that to watch Apple movies. But there's starting to be these firewalls and these preventions where they're just flat out incompatible. You're either in their ecosystem or you're not. And that's, even though I like competition, I'm a little bit afraid that it appears as competition at first. But in the long run, there won't be a whole lot of competition left. Because let's say that Microsoft and whatever other company fails. You're going to end up with two or three choices and that's it, Kurt. And it's going to be very hard to get anybody else's stuff to work on these different ecosystems. Because, you know what, if you're not in, Kurt, you're not in. So on one hand, I think it sounds good, like it's competition. And it is good that these companies are competing. But I'm afraid it's a goal to compete and lock the rest of us out. It's kind of the long-term goal of this. So anyway, any thoughts on that? Pretty soon you might not be able to hear Liberty Roundtable in any of these ecosystems.
It makes me think of the Roku, for example, and how I think for years we had a hard time getting on any thing like the Big Dish and, the big satellites basically kind of closed down that opportunity to most of us, kind of the little guys, and yet with technology, many times comes a opportunity for, even the new media to take center stage. So, who knows for sure what'll happen, but it is an interesting world when it comes to all this stuff, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Now, I told you about the ecosystems they're trying to build, and I told you how companies try to buy somebody else to leapfrog ahead in technology. Microsoft did just that. Headline says Microsoft to buy networking site LinkedIn for $26.2 billion, Kurt.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because it is kind of related to this, story. LinkedIn, I still don't really understand it. Every time I've tried to use it, I get these people that say, hey, whatever it is, join me or, endorse me or whatever in LinkedIn. And I've never been able to actually click on there and do it. And they always say, well, you got something wrong in your deal or whatever. And so I've never been able to really use LinkedIn, but I'll say that somebody's making some money off of $26.2 billion.
I think they're getting absolutely ripped off, Kurt. We've got this psychotic idea that everything's worth a gazillion dollars, and by the way, it isn't true.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. In an assessment that might be more wish than sober analysis, the New Republic magazine opines that Donald Trump campaigned for the nomination like a metaphorical dog chasing a car. Having caught it, the only thing he can think to do is keep chasing. The end of the primary did, of course, change Trump's status within the Republican Party, continues the Liberal Journal. Where once party leaders could treat him as one among many people vying for the support of GOP base voters, he is now their party's presidential standard bearer, vying for the support of a much wider electorate. Now, unlike a month ago, Republican leaders are condemning Trump roundly as a matter of their own political survival, some refusing to say whether they might rescind their support for him if he doesn't shape up. His support is collapsing just as Clinton's is climbing, concludes the New Republic. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. While disputing the claim that the Democratic presidential primary was stolen by Hillary Clinton, the liberal news site Truthout concedes that the Democratic primary was hobbled at the starting gate by blatant partisanship on behalf of Hillary Clinton by the DNC and the mainstream media. The heavy-handedness of the Democratic Party elite, particularly Debbie Wasserman's actions as party chair in restricting debates, followed by her open admission that the purpose of superdelegates is to crush the possibilities of grassroots candidates arising to challenge the party establishment, was called to account even by Democrats, continues the publication. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, on this LinkedIn thing, $26+ billion. I think it's an absolute ripoff. I think the leaders of Microsoft are psychotic on this. They always buy these things. Some of these big gargantuan companies with more money than they know what to do with, Kurt, oftentimes buy these businesses. Or these products or services, whatever it is, their hope is to get a leg up in the game. But what they do is they spend way, way too much money on it. LinkedIn is basically a networking service where people can learn about people's profiles, about people's work histories. It's a way to kind of meet, greet, and create associations. It is true that it has value, Kurt, in that people know each other. People have, if you have a lot of connections via LinkedIn and the work. Place. If you lose your job, you can probably get another job by word of mouth or by association much easier. There's value in the service. But I'm just telling you, $26 billion is absolutely crazy. Nevertheless, Microsoft hoping to become relevant, they're probably the ones that are going to be on the chopping block first in this four-way battle between Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Apple. Microsoft probably one of the weakest of them all. I mean, who thinks of Microsoft favorably is the point. Anyway, enough of that, but I thought that was interesting.
It looks like Sam, on this whole deal, I was looking at a New York Times piece talking about it, and they kind of, indicate that, hey, this is their biggest deal they've ever made. I guess in the past they bought, made some winning moves like spent $9.4 billion for Nokia, $6 billion for A Quantitative, an internet advertising company. They say that ended up writing off most of the value of those deals after they performed poorly.
See, now it's part of their strategy, though. Write all this off and avoid taxes or whatever. That's fine. But what I'm saying is they lose money hand over fist. They just make foolish decisions. If you would have bought that thing instead of six, what was it, billion?
For which one? Nokia?
Yeah.
Or A Quantitative.
Either way.
A Quantitative was $6 billion. Yeah. 9.4 was Nokia.
All right, so I'm just saying $9.4 billion for Nokia. They're not using Nokia's operating system. Nokia was already starting to lose market share big time and kind of on their way out. I don't know why you'd buy that thing for $9 billion. They should have bought it for maybe, a billion or something. All I'm telling you is... How much do they have to write off on the $9 billion?
I don't know. But anyway, I guess they've got...
How much did they write off the whole thing?
It just says that they did some, you know, wrote off some because it performed poorly. But
in other
words,
it wasn't worth near as much as they think it was.
Yeah. It seems like they've performed poorly themselves. But I guess they say they've got about $100 billion in cash and short-term investments at their disposal at Microsoft.
And so let me just stop you there and say, if you spend 25% of your available, you know, wherewithal,
cash
mm-hmm. on LinkedIn, you're crazy. I'm not saying LinkedIn doesn't have some value, but I'm saying 25% of your whole wherewithal on that single bet, very foolish. Any financial advisor would tell you to spend 25% a year on some gamble is just mistakenly, or is a big mistake. It's a mistaken idea. So, you know, I don't know what LinkedIn's worth, but I know it ain't $26 billion, my friend.
Yeah, I guess they could have, according to the New York Times piece, they could have acquired LinkedIn for even less than a little over a decade ago. Microsoft held discussions with LinkedIn about acquiring it for about $250 million. Yeah, let's see, $250
million. Let me see, $250 million to $26 billion in 10 years?
Yeah, that's
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal there, people, if you're LinkedIn.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's just interesting that...
Well, it just shows how ignorant these quote professionals are. Look, these guys get paid millions and millions and millions to set up these failed deals, Kurt. And they could hire me for pennies, and I'd steer them clear of half this and save them a ton of money.
Yeah. I guess if one guy says from Ars Technica, he says, I've slept on it. I'm still baffled at Microsoft buying LinkedIn for $26.2 billion. Microsoft is buying the cow when all it wants is some milk. He says, so anyway, you know, that's, I think he kind of agrees with you, Sam.
Well, and my response on this whole thing too, Kurt, is, you know, I'm not saying LinkedIn technology is bad, and I'm not saying there's no value there. I'm just saying you cannot way overestimate this value. Let me give you another example. I would not encourage Microsoft to just go on a buying spree and spend all their available cash and everything else. That would be a mistake in my mind. The biggest thing I think Microsoft could do is create clarity in products. Okay. What Microsoft has is confusion. Every product that they have, I can tell you, is a confusing mess.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Like, I don't know, the next generation of Xbox is, like, called Xbox One or something. Well, you'd think that's, like, the first generation, right? Oh, no. It's like after Xbox, I don't know, 365 or whatever the heck it was, Xbox Live, then you go back to One. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. It's confusing. Okay, the same thing's true with Office. They got, like, Office 365. It's an online office, but don't worry, you can download it and you don't have to use it online. Mm. Don't worry, you can buy the boxed version at the store and it can go online too. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They don't know how to pitch their products. And I'll give you one last example. They buy Skype and destroy the service.
Good point.
Everything they do just seems like it's crazy. And the first thing they ought to do is, instead of what you ought to do, I think we ought to start with what you ought not to do, Kurt. And the first thing you ought not to do is create product confusion. When you come out with a product, okay, make logical sense with your product releases to where people feel like they're getting an upgrade. But if I have an Xbox 365, do I want to downgrade to the Xbox One? Oh, that's the upgrade. See? Okay, it's just crazy. And the confusion just reigns supreme over there at Microsoft. And so I'll give you an example. Everybody's being forced to upgrade to Windows 10. No one likes it, okay? It's called Phone Home Windows 10. Everybody hates it. And the answer, Kurt, is there's a guy by the name of Steve Gibson. He's a friend of ours. He works at Gibson Research Corporation. He's actually the owner of that. He's been on the radio with us several times. He's a nice guy. And I'm not saying I'm best friends with him, but I consider him a good friend. He's a great guy, he's a brilliant mind. Well, he got so sick of all his computers trying to upgrade to Windows 10, dude, that he wrote a utility, a little program called Never 10. NEVER10.exe. Go look it up on the internet. It'll come up Gibson Research Council. Download it, or Research Corporation. Download it and install it. And when you run it, it goes bling. Your computer's ready to upgrade to Windows 10. Press this button to never do that. Okay, and it'll just stop Windows 10 from driving you nuts because he's sick of it. And everybody's sick of it. Well, just so you know, the thing's got like millions of downloads, Kurt. If Microsoft doesn't take a page out of that reality check, I don't know what these guys are thinking. The first thing you do is you give everybody a free upgrade to Windows 7, the most stable operating system they've ever built. Then what you say is, you know what? We're going to make such a better Windows system that you're going to want to upgrade. I mean, just think about it. A guy gets so mad. He's a genius. He writes Never 10. And it literally gets millions and millions of downloads. People are just going, no, don't upgrade me. Don't do it. Stop. And whenever people hear about the Windows 10 after their computer upgrade, they're like, oh, man, can I undo it? Well, if that doesn't tell you something, Microsoft, I don't know what does. So, Bill Gates, if you're listening, the first thing you got to do is start with the things that you ought not do. Then after we get a couple of ought nots on the table there, then we can talk about what you ought to do. See?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they could pay me, I mean, what, a few hundred grand a year? Bonus of a couple of million
less
or something?
Than, a billion here and a billion there.
And I could save them so much money, Kurt, that it would just be shocking. And people would actually start to like Microsoft again. Because the next thing I'd do is I would listen to the tech world. Yeah, you heard me. One of the biggest things I would do is listen to the tech world. And I would start to find out, what don't you like about what we're doing? What should we stop doing? Once I got that squared away, I'd say, now what things do you think we should be doing? Well, I think that the next version of the Xbox 365 ought to be maybe the Xbox 24/7 or something instead of, Xbox One. Why don't I go to Xbox minus one next? I'm just saying there's common sense things to do. I got to court the corporate world in a way that makes sense, not breeds confusion. I mean, every time I get on a Windows computer now, Kurt, someone says, where do I go for this? And I'm like, man, I have no idea. What version of Windows are you on? 7, 7 Pro, 8, 8.1, 8.2. We skip 9, 10. And it's just like, man, it's very difficult. So it's like, I don't know, ask Cortana. She knows everything.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy. And I appreciate the artificial intelligence built in, but I'm telling you, they're going the wrong direction. And they ought to start with what not to do. And if they did that, I'm convinced they would actually gain serious, serious ground. But what I predict is they'll buy LinkedIn, they'll destroy it, and then they'll wonder what happened, and then they'll write it off just like they did Skype and just like they did Nokia. It'll just go on, Kurt. All right, Chick-fil-A, baby. One of my favorite restaurants for a good reason. Every time I turn around, the reason again becomes very apparent. Kurt has details in seconds on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit to PreserveTheNation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Chick-fil-A, well known for their Christian stance. That's why I believe in them. They believe in one man, one woman marriages. They actually fund Christian causes. They do a great job, great food, by the way. They got fast food speed, but they got quality food and service that is very legendary. I appreciate Chick-fil-A very much. And we've supported them quite a bit in the past, and we still do, but they've been taking a beating because they don't promote the gay and lesbian lifestyle. In fact, they reject it, and I commend them for that. It's hard to say where we go from here because now there's good news about them, but, of course, completely ignored. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, you know, with this whole shooting down in Orlando, you know, at least – some folks, including Chick-fil-A, saw a need. And so what they did was, you know, in Chick-fil-A's, I guess you could say, I would say, you know, they need to put a star on their forehead. But they basically, down there in Orlando, they delivered sandwiches and iced tea to a blood drive supporting victims of the terrorist attack. Now, this they tell you where it was, and the initial report was done by what's called DC Gazette, and they say the owners of the Christian-run organization, you know, that's Chick-fil-A, which is normally closed on Sundays, they've been criticized for holding a biblical view of marriage as a union between one man and one woman, but they showed up to help these folks that got shot at a homosexual nightclub, huh, Sam?
Yeah, they basically went in on Sunday. Yeah, they didn't charge any money. Food. They made all this food. They brought it over there and kindly delivered it. So even though they may disagree with the gay lifestyle, they have compassion, Kurt.
Yeah, and I don't remember hearing about this really anywhere else. Do you, Sam?
No, the D.C. Gazette, though, surprisingly enough, nails it with their headline, in my opinion, Kurt.
Yeah, where they say Chick-fil-A did what after gay club shooting? Why isn't this viral? Yeah, good point.
And then the story, a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Orlando on Sunday delivered sandwiches and iced tea free of charge to the blood drive supporting the victims of the gay nightclub terrorist attack. I'm just saying it's great news, Kurt, and what an example. And this just proves the charitable ideas that you and I talk about can and do work, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. And nobody forced them to do this act of charity. You know, like they say here, but wait, those people were waiting to give blood to victims that were mostly gay or, you know, we would say homosexual. Doesn't Chick-fil-A hate gays? That's what we keep being told. Turns out, according to the story, that while the founders definitely don't approve of the gay lifestyle, they believe in compassion. Huh, who knew? This author says. A bunch of people claiming to be Christians, caring about others, even when they don't agree with them. These employees took time out of their personal schedules, volunteering to feed those who were donating blood that were desperately needed by the hospital to treat the severely injured survivors. On top of that, the franchise is located on Wells Road in Orange Park. It's even offering coupons for a free frosted lemonade. The coupon will be available to anyone who donates blood on June 14th while the One Blood Mobile unit is at their location. So much for the Chick-fil-A hate becoming a thing.
And I want to commend the DC Gazette or Gazette Crew. Yeah. I don't even know much about them. I'm just telling you, when they say, why isn't this viral? That's a fair question.
That is.
And I also say, you know, a good reach out to the Washington Times in this case too, Kurt, basically saying, hey, here's what happened. And you know what? That's all we ask is the who, what, when, where, why of a story. Who? Chick-fil-A. What? Delivered free food and drinks to try to ease burdens and decrease suffering. Okay, so that's who, what, when, Sunday, where? Well, at the blood drive. Why? To show some kindness and some love and some support for those who are suffering at this time. To bear one another's burdens, as the Christians are taught. See, that to me should be the top story in the nation right now, Kurt.
Yep.
And then we should try to see if we can't find a way to promote it enough where there's copycats running around.
Yeah, that's right.
See?
That's exactly right.
Anyway, I commend them both, and I hope it does go viral, and I hope it is top news. But primarily the new media, Facebook, Twitter, and that kind of stuff, telling the tale right now. And the smart news services are jumping aboard and trying to play catch up with the new media. So that's good news. GOP stalwarts in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah. Now, I was trying to remember this story.
They're pushing back against the Trump juggernaut, and it's basically USA Today. It's just interesting to me how, on one hand, they all act like they're getting behind Trump, and they publicly say, I'm behind Trump now, but yet everything they do undermines this effort, Kurt.
Yep. Well, there you go. That's pretty much the whole
And they admit
story.
It's a juggernaut, which what that means is, you know, hey, the Donald's in control here, people.
It kind of goes along with that one where the guy offered him $200 million to take Gingrich as VP.
Nah, not taking getting rich. Don't think so.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, any other guy, I think, pretty much would have done it, you know.
Hey, Kurt, you need to meet Susie Tompkin.
Well, this or was Tompkins, an interesting one. You know, a story out of the L.A. Times where I found it. Susie Tompkins Buell, and I guess this lady and her, I don't know which number the husband was, but they met kind of as hippies, you know, years ago or whatever, and then they just made a bunch of clothes and made big bucks. But over time, she's basically funded Hillary and Bill, you know, to the tune of about, what, $15 million? You know, pretty good chunk. And anytime they want to come to town, they can cruise in there. And in the San Francisco area, they say Hillary recently parachuted into L.A. And some of the well-heeled
That's not really literal. It just means she just jumped in there, you know.
Cruised in there, yeah. And in the San Francisco area is this one lady, 73-year-old fixture, they call her, of the Bay Area Philanthropy, and they call her the Salon Society, who didn't want anything to do with politics until she had a chance meeting with Bill Clinton well into her adult life. Now, you know, her chance meeting apparently
hey,
didn't turn into
you,
the same
kinda
thing.
She kind of took a liking to me, too. I don't blame her. Nothing like handsome people like me running around, you know?
Anyway, I guess when she was a 21-year-old who had chosen work as a Keno runner in Tahoe over college, she randomly stopped by the roadside to pick up a guy named Doug Tompkins, a hitchhiking beach bum, who, like her, had an unexpected mastery of entrepreneurship and getting in front of trends. So they married and together built a fortune and a cultish following around
By the
clothing
way,
lines.
I wouldn't recommend building cultish followings. I also wouldn't really recommend picking up a hitchhiker to meet your spouse. It's not.
Yeah, good point.
And I'm glad it worked out well for him, Kurt, and everything. I'm just saying it's not kind of the preferred method.
Yeah, now, not surprisingly, they divorced, etc., but the bottom line is about this story, it tells you about kind of how much of this money is made and then how these big-moneyed people support people like the Clintons. And, you know,
one of the interesting lines in the story is she loves Hillary and she's donated a ton of money to Hillary. But you know what? They really, when they get together, they never talk about politics, Kurt. They're just not political animals. They're just buddies.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. Do you think that she donates to Hillary because it makes a huge profit for her? No.
I would. Who knows?
You well, know, it's kind of, all I'm telling you is if it made a huge profit for her, you and I would know. Somehow she'd get headlines
that
would
be in this story.
Okay. So since we didn't even really know about her company or anything she's done before this, you know, it isn't about promoting her company or making tons of money. Now, there might be political paybacks behind the scenes. That's another discussion we ought to try to dig into. But the point that I'm getting at is she isn't running around going, I need a profit.
Yeah.
I need to make, you know, man, Sam, if I give you a dollar, I need $1 million back, you know. She's just believing in her causes, and she puts her money where her mouth is for those causes. That's something that, in my opinion, the conservatives need to take a little page out of that playbook, Kurt. The conservatives
great point.
In the United States, or the Republicans, or the whatever, constitutionalists, the whatever term you want to use for us, they always look at it and say, Sam, I can't even give you a dollar unless you give me back five. We just can't do that.
She...
Now, if I say, well, what if I do you a lot of good and give you a dollar back later? Sam, that's probably not really good enough.
That's right.
See?
That's right. Like in her case, they talk about one day where she wrote a $100,000 check. Clinton campaign was confused. They say such large gifts usually come with requests for FaceTime with the candidate, or at the very least, donor perks like ticket packages to the party convention, star-studded fundraising events. They asked me what I wanted, and she said, I remember saying, I want him to be president. I had no idea about how the money part of this worked. She said.
See, and if we could get $100,000 donated to us, we could run Liberty Roundtable for our Liberty News Radio, the whole network, for over a year pretty easy, Kurt.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know? So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting stuff going on in the news. Hillary's probably going to be your president. Many are saying that the Donald's finding a way to gracefully lose. Time will tell on that front. We'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. That's how we roll. The who, what, when, where, why of a news piece is what interests us. And then to put that together in a moral compass, a Christian worldview, and then applying it to our lives to better our society and have a more gentle, kind, stable, civilized, God-fearing society is the answer. The goal to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. It's pretty simple stuff. And we believe the media is one of the great ways. It's the original new media, huh? This nation shall endure.